Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
You have to think about up front who's doing what and who is responsible for what, especially in partnerships. And when it's just you, it's cool. Everything falls on you. But when you start needing to answer questions and you're being checked by people, it's good to be able to say, nope, this is the rules. This is what we said. This is what we agreed on. People are emotional, and emotions in business do not mix. They may say, oh, well, I'm in a bind. I need some money. So I want to take out some money from the business. No, no. We said that the money was locked up. It's a lockup. Nobody's taking any distributions for the first 2 years. That now makes it a personal problem and not a business problem. And we agreed on this.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop. All right, guys. Welcome back, EYL. This is a very nostalgic episode. I'll explain. So, you know, we started Earn Your Leisure, and the original concept was just me and Troy, and we were talking about like different relevant stuff in pop culture related into business, business case studies, things of that nature. And we didn't have any guests.
No. Just us.
Yeah. And then the first guest that we had, episode
eight.
Eight.
You said, yo, let's just invite somebody, man. Like,
yeah.
Sure.
Was yes, Miss Business. So I met Miss Business through MG. Shout out to MG. Went to his workshop that he had. I spoke at his workshop. And this is 2 years ago. And
we going on three wow. years, bro.
Almost three, but it's like jeez. It was like two because we didn't have a guest.
March,
we start
right?
Yeah.
So it was like 2.5 years ago. So long story short, I met Miss Business there, and you know, dope accountant, CPA. So around that time, Amazon had a big story in the news where they didn't pay any federal taxes.
Yeah, zero taxes. Yep, I remember that.
Federal, right? No federal
it
taxes.
Was federal. Yeah. Yep.
And they had made federal. Like $18 billion that year. And they didn't pay any taxes, so it was a real big trending topic. So I'm like, all right, this is a perfect time to actually talk about this. But instead of me and Troy talking about it, let's bring an expert in to talk about it. And then not only talk about that, but to give general, you know, tax tips. Because I feel like taxes was something that was very, very important. So long story short, invited Miss Business. And she was the first guest of EYL. And then
I was
opened up the floodgates for everybody. Yeah, everybody
had,
to come.
Had you talking about Kanye on there?
You did have me talking about Kanye. Oh, yeah. We were talking about everything.
Shout out to our brother.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was.
A lot has happened in 2 years.
A lot has happened.
As you can see, a lot of things have changed.
A lot of things have changed. We was at the dining room table.
This is a fact. Now I just eat dinner there.
Yeah, that is a fact. So this is a full circles moment. So if you're familiar with us, then you're probably familiar with Miss Business, CPA extraordinaire. And she's been one of these people that's kind of been a fixture with EYL, where she's done events for us. She's did Market Mondays. We've done YouTube Live. She's taught a lot of classes for EYL University.
Professors here.
She's been with us, kind of like how MG has been with us. But we have not done a follow-up episode. So I thought this was the perfect timing for a follow-up episode. Different topic, though. This time is probably one of the most requested topics that we have ever had, where it's like we talk about business so, so much. And one of the top topics is, how do you start a business? Like, what is the steps to start a business, from setting up an LLC to setting up an EIN number, the bank account, the idea of actually starting a business, the operation agreements, and then once you have a business, as far as how do you put stuff in your business name,
they want to know that,
how do you take tax deductions,
<love that.
laughs> yeah, all of that stuff, retirement, how do you set up retirement plans, how do you hire employees, how do you put employees on payroll, so much stuff. It's like, you know, even if you go to business school, a lot of this stuff is not taught. Most of the stuff taught in business school is like more theory, things of that nature, supply and demand charts. But this is real world business. And what happens is most of the time is that you just learn as you go. The problem with learning as you go is that you make a lot of mistakes. And you can avoid some mistakes if you have some level of mentorship. And this is what EYL has become, kind of like mentorship in a sorts. So this conversation is extremely important. We're going to be talking about how to start a business, how to keep the business afloat, how to run the business, operations, everything you need to know to have a successful business this year, next year, and every year. So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me again.
Welcome back.
This
is, you know why it's also perfect timing? We just saw the report that 4.5 million people quit their jobs. right? And we saw that a lot of people
are not playing.
They're not going back to work, but they are becoming entrepreneurs. So we saw the ADP numbers rise. And so that's an encouraging sign, especially if you're looking at like who's trying to start their own business. So this is the absolute pristine time.
And the perfect way to start the year. Perfect way to start off 2022.
Indeed.
That's a fact.
Yes.
That's a fact. A lot of people have New Year's resolutions of starting a business. So what better way? And even if you have a business, this is going to be information that you can use to take your business to the next level and just run things more efficiently. So, all right, not even going to waste any time. Let's get into it. So the first question that I have, we're going to start from like the beginning all the way to the end, is choosing a business. Like when you're considering a business, you have passion projects and you have businesses. A lot of times people start businesses for the wrong reasons. They start the wrong businesses. So what are your advice as far as like starting a business idea?
So when people have, everyone has ideas, right? I believe that we're all phenomenal and we all have these amazing ideas. However, I think that when you're considering, I say passion versus profit, because you hear all the time, you need to like follow your passion and you need to follow your passion. And sometimes that passion leaves you broke. Right. And so I think that when you are thinking about all these different ideas that you have to think about what is going to turn me a profit. So that way it will allow me to then go after my passion and then serve my passion. If your passion happens to serve you and turn you a profit, then congratulations. Right. But most of the time people are just one looking at what other people are doing. And that's not the right thing to do. You have to think about what's important to me. What problem am I solving? Right? Like with you guys came out and yes, you were talking about financial literacy, but you were presenting it in a more digestible manner. You knew that you, that like the culture needed to hear financial literacy from a different perspective. And so just thinking about, okay, what is the market missing? What can I add? What's important to me? Answer all of those questions and then say, okay, I'm going to first do this one thing because that's important. One thing is important because people will say, I want to do real estate. I want to start t-shirts. I want to, you know, do a sock line, and they will try to do everything at one time. You can't do that. So I think the first thing is becoming very clear on what is that first thing that you're going to put out that's going to either be your passion if it turns a profit. If, and this is my opinion, you guys can say what you think. I think that people should go after, it should be what's important to them, but I think that you should figure out how can you make an impact while making a profit to then do all the things that, you know, make you feel all gushy inside. Yeah. So what do you guys think?
I was told like if it doesn't make profit and it's not your passion, like then you're just having a hobby.
Yeah.
Right? It's something that you like to do, but it's not something that you necessarily should be doing, right? You're not passionate about it. You got to find out, how can I add value, right? Once I have those things, all right, this is my passion, I've added value. Now what? Like I got to come up with a business name or something like that. What's the next thing I'm going to do?
So after you figure out and you're very clear on what product or service you're going to offer, the next thing that you have to consider is your name.
Okay.
So your business name is going to be everything, right? Because this is what people are, one, going to refer you, refer to you as well as thinking about and considering what does that mean in the future? How will that affect funding? Like a lot of people are denied regularly for loans or any type of line of credit because they may put investments or real estate in their name. Lenders are like, no, that's risky. Right. If you put that you, I don't know, you do anything risky, the bank is going to be like, no, I'm not approving that loan because guess what? I don't know if I'm going to get my money back. And that's the only thing that any lender or investor cares about. How am I going to get my money back? So you have to think about a name that, one, represents your brand, and two, is not going to mess you up with lenders.
Let's get right into this conversation of names since you brought it up. First, you also want to make sure you have a name that is original and not trademarked, right?
Yes.
So how can you search that to know if the name is actually something that you're not going to get sued for because somebody else is already using it?
So before starting any business or putting out any slogans, you have to make sure that it's not already in use. If another business already has it trademarked, then you have to consider the fact that you probably can't use it. And so you want to go on the USPTO's website and search to confirm to see if that name is available. Okay, so that is like step one. Or step two, because you want to check your LLCs, which I'm sure we're going to get into, right? But you want to make sure that the point is that you want to make sure that you're not infringing on someone else's business. You don't want to sit down and create products and packaging and create an entire brand and you're ranting and raving about it for you to just receive a cease and desist letter from another business because you're infringing on, you know, their brand. So
yeah, a lot of times people just come out with things and put it on their product and then you get the cease and desist letter. But also one of those things you got to look at is what the actual slogan is or the name is being used for. Because there's different categories, right?
It could be
for
media,
it could be for clothing, it could be for food, it could be for educational purposes. So like you got to make sure you look at all those things.
Yep, because I actually got this information very early on from the biz lawyer. She does all of my trademarks. And so she had to break it down to me. She's like, because when I first tried to do Miss Business, there was like all these different categories. And I'm like, well, I want to do this. And I want to trademark in this category and that category. And so I actually got an office action because there was someone else in education. We fought it and I own this business now. However, it's so important to understand. And there's all, she gives an example where it's like you have Pandora music, but then you have Pandora jewelry, right? So those are two different categories, but what's happening is that you can literally have businesses with the same name, but just in two different categories, because it's all about what a consumer can identify as your brand. So no one's gonna like think that Pandora music is Pandora jewelry, right? It's two different things. So we have to
think.
That's an amazing example. When she talked about that, I was like, oh, wow. You're right.
But that's why also if you can get trademarks, and because you never know, you might want to start at one thing and then go to another thing later on where you're not, you might start as a clothing line and you thinking that's only going to start as a clothing line. But using references, Griselda, shout out to Benny the Butcher and West Side Gun and Conway. You up on them?
I'm not.
You've heard of them?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Don't do that.
I know who they are. I know who they are. Yeah. And I like their music. But to be honest with you, I just listen to Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Okay. Real safe, Brooklyn. She's from Brooklyn, by the
way. Safe bet. But I use them because they started as a fashion line. So even their drop is like Griselda Fashion Rebels. But obviously now they're in music. So I don't necessarily know if that was the original plan to go to music, but let's say that wasn't the original plan. They started as a fashion clothing company, but now they're a music company. So I say that to say it's good to kind of trademark as many different things as possible because you never know where your business is going
to
take
you. And being able to look into the future too. Sometimes we're thinking too small.
Yeah.
So to your point, it's like, and figure out what your gateway is going to be to get into different industries. So it looks like they reversed it. And that's why I was so shocked to know that they first got into fashion, then went to music. Because most people go into music, then go into fashion. Yeah. Right? So it looked like they said, you know what? We're going to do fashion and then we're going to go into music because maybe they felt that it was a good marketing strategy. Yeah. But sometimes just kind of figuring out like what's going to be your conduit to get to the masses is important. And you want to make sure that you're protecting yourself at every aspect.
Yeah. There was these two guys from Greenberg that had a slogan that had assets over liabilities on their shirts. That started as clothing and ended up as a TV show.
Shout out to Revolt.
You might know
them. You might know them or you may not.
Also, this is true too, right? Not only trademarking the category, but trademarking the place you are, like location. So like having a trademark in the United States doesn't mean that it's trademarked in Europe and Asia.
Let's talk about that, right? Because a trademark is federal, right? So federal meaning that it's going to cover you throughout the U.S. But as you mentioned, that does not cover other countries. And Are we going to get to LLCs?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to do that. We're going to give them all.
But yeah, so like LLCs as an example, we could go back into it, but LLCs is more so going, is more so registering on the state level, right? And then people will always ask me about, let's say like a DBA, that's registering on the county level. Right. So you have to be careful and understand what you're protecting and at what level you're protecting. Because if you, you know, someone can take your same name in a different state and then start a business because you only, you know, register in that state. But if you do your trademark, that's going to protect you federally. Yeah. Right. So those,
the price isn't that much when you do like LLCs or trademarks. It's like maybe a couple hundred dollars, maybe $1,000.
Unless you got to fight it. But yeah, it's not that.
Unless you got to battle.
It's not that. Yeah, it's not.
International, a little bit more expensive, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about starting your business yourself or working with partners.
This episode of Earn Your Leisure is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's is more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. Over the years, it's become a staple in our community. It's the place you're guaranteed to see teammates after a big game because everyone is headed to Mickey D's, win or lose. When I stop in for my morning breakfast of 3 hotcakes and a hash brown, seeing students using the Wi-Fi for their social media is all part of the routine. It's become the epicenter of the community. Whether it's gathering for a birthday party, and we've all been to a McDonald's birthday party, or the place that someone receives their first job, McDonald's grows with its patrons, which makes it the go-to place generation after generation. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
You know I'm the accountant, so I get all the information, right? So people have to consider what I like to say every time someone comes to me and they're asking, should I start a business by myself or should I get partners? Sometimes people are getting partners for the wrong reason. They're getting partners because they want someone to lean on when this person does not provide any sort of value to you at all. It's just someone that you can talk to. People want a therapist, right? They want a therapist. They want someone that they can bring along on their journey. So that way it can, you know, be, I guess, yeah, they can have a partner. They can have somebody to go along, a shoulder to lean on. As I said, a therapist. But business is so complicated. And there's so many decisions that's going to be made that you want to make sure that if you are partnering with someone that they are of benefit to the business. And so there's so many different ways when you have partners. Everyone doesn't have to be in the forefront. You may have someone that is a partner for you, but it may be on a monetary perspective, right? You may need their capital. Mm-hmm. Or you may need someone that they may have the knowledge. You may have the capital. You may have the time. They may have the capital. But let's say both of you have the capital, but nobody has the knowledge. What are you doing, right? You know, and so I've seen so many partnerships come together and then dissolve. Like I've literally had people form an entity with me and then on the phone because they could not get things together, dissolve the company right on the phone with me. Like, you know what? Let's just dissolve this. Okay. And that's because they did not do their due diligence up front and they were just trying so desperately to make it work. Guard your ideas. I find that sometimes there's usually a group of people in a room and they're just like, hey, yeah, I want to start this business. You want to start it with me? It's like, who makes this person qualified to start a business with you? And so that's the first thing that you have to do. Mm-hmm. Really figure out what asset is this partner going to be an asset or are they going to be a liability? And so figuring that out and what they bring to the table is going to be extremely important. Then deciding based on their value in the business, what ownership percentage do they have? Does that automatically entitle them to 50% of your business? Did you already have a concept already proven? Have you already did all the research? What exactly are they coming with? They may only need 25%. They may need 10%. They may need 50%. You really need to consider if you're giving away 51% because that's control, right?
These are real conversations.
These are real conversations that people are not having. And as we move into this space where there's so many entrepreneurs, that's kind of like how Miss Business started. Because I was looking around at the time I was in corporate and I'm looking around and everybody's having the conversation about, oh, we're gonna get this money, we're gonna get this money, we're gonna get this money. I'm like, whoa, hold up. What about taxes, right? And so now what I'm sitting back and I'm looking at is COVID happened. Everybody has some time. You guys educate in the world on what's possible. And now everyone knows what their options are. However, no one has that blueprint or someone to be like, listen, this is, you know, what you need to do. So there's a ton of LLCs being created, but not a ton of profitable businesses. And as I say, I'm on the accounting side. So I know everything, right? Like who's profiting, who's not, who's, you know, doing business for free, you know, who can't get it together. And so it really is, you know, a lot of things that we have to also pay attention to if we are going to start these businesses as well as be profitable. So
yeah, so you said LLCs, you can do that by yourself, right?
You can definitely form your LLC by yourself.
And you could also do it with partners.
Yeah, you can definitely form an LLC if you have partners.
So what's that process like?
So you definitely, okay, so there's a two-step process when you're forming an LLC. As I mentioned, an LLC is when you are forming your business on the state level. Okay. So you have to register your articles of organization with your Secretary of State on, and as I mentioned, that's on the state level. You then need to apply for your EIN number. So your EIN number is federal, that's done with the IRS. You have to do both. And it's best if you do both around the same time because December, so many people will rush and be like, oh my God, like I have an articles, but now I need an EIN. And it's like some people now don't have their EIN until 2022.
That's like the but tax identification
number. Yeah, government. That's their tax identification. So that's your employer identification number.
That's like your social security number.
That's what I call it. It's like your social security number for your business. Mm-hmm. So going forward, you're no longer providing your name and social. You're providing your business name that you formed with the estate. Mm-hmm. And then you are going to provide your EIN that you formed with the IRS.
So, all right, let's get into this conversation since we're talking about this. LLC, what's the difference between an LLC, C Corp, S Corp? Like, there's different ways you can form the business.
Yes.
With some pros and cons. And yeah, talk about that.
Perfect. So let's talk about when you're registering. You have to consider, just like choosing a partner, you have to decide what entity type you are going to choose, because it's more than like the same process with registering your LLC. If you decide to be a corporation, then you would register your corporation with the Secretary of State as well. But one thing that you have to consider is if you choose an LLC, that's telling the IRS that you want to be taxed as an LLC. If you choose a corporation, that's telling the IRS that you want to be taxed as a corporation. So the difference between all of, let's start with LLCs, because that's the popular entity, mm-hmm. as I call it.
Limited liability company, right?
Mm-hmm. Limited liability company. And an LLC is not a tax structure. An LLC is a legal structure. So what that means is that if you form an LLC, it does not allow you to write off anything additional than if you were operating as a sole proprietorship, meaning that you did not register your business. So the reason why as an LLC, you can write off the same thing. So I have so many people that come to me all the time and they'll say, I want to start a business and I want to start an LLC because I want to be able to write these things off. You can write it off. Like, you can still write it off if you're operating as a sole proprietorship. The big benefit with an LLC is that it protects you against liability. So if you are, if someone were to sue you, and you're operating as a sole proprietorship, then now your personal assets, your home, your stocks, I know you guys, you know, have everybody invested.
Protect the broker.
You guys have everyone invested in stocks, yeah. But these are assets. And so if you decide today to start a business and then someone sues you, they will now all of your assets, you know, your cash, your personal, your home, your primary residence, your stocks, that will now all be at liberty in that lawsuit because there's no separation between you and the business as a sole proprietorship. But if you're an LLC, then what happens is if you were sued, then they're just suing the business. They're not necessarily suing you. Okay, so that is something to consider. Now, from the tax side of things, with a sole proprietorship or an LLC, what happens is that you have to worry about self-employment tax. So now when you're getting taxed, you're worried about your income tax on the federal side, your income tax on the state side, and then you also have self-employment tax, which is about 15.3% additional on top of that. And to drive it home to people, I always say, would you allow somebody to walk up to you and just say, let me get 15.3% of your business? You would look at them like they're crazy. But because it's the IRS, most people are not questioning it because they're afraid to actually, well, one, I think they're afraid, but then I also think that people don't understand taxes. So they'll just say, you know what, I'm gonna just pay whatever, and not really looking at exactly what's due. So, I mean, what's the taxes are made up of, right? And so that 15.3% is a lot. It's a lot. So that's what you're looking at. And so that's pretty much a con of an LLC, right? That's a con because you have to pay that additional 15.3%. Now let's talk about a corporation. So corporations does have a pro of it, depending on how much money you make. A pro of a corporation is that there's a flat tax, 21% for a corporation. However, you have to consider double taxation. So now that's the con. The con with double taxation is that you have to pay taxes on the business side, that 21%, but then profits then have to be distributed to the shareholders, i.e. if it's just you as the owner, then you would be that shareholder, and then profits will need to be distributed to you. So you have to consider that as well. And so it's very, and you know, I like to just talk about, let's say Apple. With Apple, Apple is paying taxes at the business level, and then they distribute out the dividends to all of the shareholders. The dividends then have to be reported on the personal tax return. And then from there, you then have to pay tax on it again, right? So that's pretty much how it works when you have a corporation. And a lot of people will form corporations either if they're grossing a lot of money, or if it's a situation where they may have investors or they want to go public. Situations and scenarios like that will require you to be operating as a corporation versus an LLC.
In that example that you just gave, but the the dividend payment, what tax rate is that on? Does it matter how long you held the position? Is it short term, or is it like a flat tax? Short term capital gains, long term capital gains.
Short term and long term are taxed differently. Okay. So short term capital gains, meaning less than 1 year, is taxed at your ordinary income tax rate. So just as though you were working at a job, you have those, it's gonna be based on a bracket, right? Long-term, it's also based on a bracket. However, the brackets are much larger. So as an example, if you are married, filing joint, and you have, let's say, married, filing joint, and you have short-term capital gains, from about zero to about 40,000, you have like zero capital gains in short term. No, sorry, 10% capital gains. But if you are married, filing joint with long-term capital gains, and let's say you profited $40,000, you would have no tax liability. It would be zero. So the idea, as we always talk about, is that the tax code is a series of incentives. The government wants you to keep your money in the stock market longer because it's driving the economy. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they're going to reward you having your money in sitting in the stock market a lot longer. So mm-hmm. if you want to like be in and out of trades on a daily, then they're like, okay, well, that we're going to tax that as earned income. So that's something to think about.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the C Corp, S Corp. So the C Corp, you got to put yourself on salary, right?
Yes, C Corp, you have to put yourself on salary as well as an S Corp.
Okay. And so the main benefit with the C Corp and the S Corp as opposed to the LLC is that you save money in taxes, correct?
All right. So it depends. It depends on the C Corp. So C Corp, you really start to save on taxes if you're making, I want to say, anything over, let's say like $300,000 or $400,000, right? Now you are saving, because what happens on the individual side is that tax rate is at like 40%. So if I can just pay a flat rate of, let's say 21%, it gets very complicated, right? With a corporation, but there are instances with a corporation where you are saving significantly more if you are profiting more, because you know, with a corporation, you may have different things that you need to set money aside for future use, and it's it gets a little complicated, more tax planning stuff. But a corporation out the gate, unless you are, I do have some clients that start businesses and they are like, listen, I have these big contracts waiting for me, but it may make sense for you to either start out as an LLC or an S corp.
Because you can always change, right?
If you start out, so
as an LLC, you can always change.
If you are an LLC, you can always elect to be taxed as an S corp, or you can elect to be taxed as a corporation.
What about a DBA? What's a DBA?
So a DBA just means that you're doing business as. So that means if you, let's say you didn't register your business and you wanted to just file a DBA, you're saying, all right, well, I'm operating a business and this is what I'm doing business as. You also have an option if you're an LLC to, sorry, if you're an LLC to say, I said that my business name is Earn Your Leisure, but we want to go by assets over liabilities. So we'll be doing business as assets over liabilities.
Gotcha.
So,
So in the LLC, now you said the difference, obviously, in the corps, S corp, C corp, is yet you got to pay yourself a salary. And so when you pay yourself a salary, now that's when you can have SEP IRAs and 401ks as opposed to LLC. Is that correct or no?
No.
So you can have it in the LLC.
Yeah, you can have it in the LLC. So let's just talk about S-corps because everyone loves S-corps now. So let me just break S-corps down a little bit. So with an S-corp, you do have two main requirements. One is to pay yourself a salary and the other is to file your taxes every single year. With paying yourself a salary, what happens, as I mentioned before, you will go, you'll have, well, what I mentioned before with the LLC is that you on $100,000, you still have to worry about that self-employment tax. With an S-corp, you don't have to worry about the self-employment tax on your total profit. What happens is self-employment tax is really made up of Social Security tax and Medicare tax. So when you are an employee, if you look at your W-2, you have Social Security tax and Medicare tax. But when you are the employee, you pay half and your employer pays half, so you guys are splitting it. But when you are the employer, you're responsible for paying 100%, and that's how we get to that 15.3%, right? And so now when you're an S corp, your only requirement is to pay yourself a salary. So when you pay yourself a salary, you, let's say it was $100,000 profit, and you may say, you know what, I'm going to pay myself. The IRS just says that you have to pay yourself a reasonable salary. It's not like a specific number or percentage. So let's just say you say, you know what, I'm going to pay myself $35,000. You go from paying that Social Security tax and Medicare tax on that whole $100,000 as a LLC or a sole proprietorship to only paying it on that $35,000 as an S corp. So that's how you're able to save. That's how you're able to save on the S corp side.
So, okay. So let's talk about registering a business. So what is the process? You have, okay, you got the trademark. What is the process of actually doing the business registration?
So the things that you want to make sure that you have when you're registering your business is, again, you want to make sure that you have your business name. On every state's website, they have a function for you to check to see if your name is already taken. So you want to make sure that, your name is available. So after determining if your name is available, the things that you'll need to consider and think about is your address, right? Like, so that's one thing. What is going to be your business address? Along with your name, another way to get denied for funding is the address. So if you're putting your personal home address as your business address, there's instances where lenders will deny you because they're going to do a quick search and your house is going to pop up on Google Maps, right? And so that has to be considered. What's going to be your business address? I suggest getting a virtual address if you do not have an address. Virtual addresses are perfect and you can utilize them in so many different ways. Like when I first started my company, I was working from home and I had a virtual address. It was on Fifth Avenue. You get an option to choose. So I was like, oh, put me on Fifth Avenue in the city. And so I'm in this big high rise in Manhattan in the city. And then they also, with virtual offices, they'll have different options. So they'll have one option where you can just use their address, or they have other options where they can act as like your receptionist. So they'll pick up the phone and they'll, just say, hi, Brooks Alliance, right? And so people were like, oh, can I speak to Shaquana? And then they'll transfer it to my cell phone, right? So nobody knew, but I needed that virtual address when I first started, when I was registering my business, because I knew going into it, I wanted to build business credit. And so because I knew that I wanted to build business credit, I had to make sure that I, you know, did all the things that I needed to do. And one of those was making sure that I wasn't using my home address. So that's the next thing that you have to think about. After that, you have to think about who is going to act as your registered agent. As a registered agent just pretty much means who's going to be served. If somebody comes to sue you, who's going to be served? And you have to think about with a registered agent, there are requirements. The space needs to be open during regular business hours. There needs to be somebody that they could technically come and serve. And so you have to think about that. Do you want people rolling up to your home address to serve you? And you have to think about that all of this information is public, right? And so you may not want the entire world to be able to, you know, see, you know, where you live. And depending on the state, not all states, they'll make your address public, but the registered agent address is public. So you have to think about that, right? So with the registered agent, you have to think about, do you want to be the registered agent, or do you want to hire a registered agent, right, to act, to get served on your behalf? Keep in mind, no, you do not need to be there. If you put them down as your registered agent and someone comes to serve you, then they are still serving you, because that's who you put down as your registered agent. And outside of that, it's just really your name, your business address, your registered agent. Make sure you you have to pay filing fees. And most states, 90% of them, you can do this all electronically. Some states have a waiting process. Other states, it's automatic. But the idea is that you can do it online. It's not like somewhere that you have to go to get it done.
One of the things you said inside of creating that business, we got the name, but you said the operating agreement is one of those things that you have to have. So I want to make sure everybody understands what needs to be inside of the operating agreement when it's created.
So what is the operating agreement?
Both, really.
Okay, yes. So after you register your business and you have your EIN, now you have to think about those supporting documents. Those documents that's going to dictate what happens in the business. Again, there has to be a lot of thought put into a business before the business starts. And most people don't do this. So in an operating agreement, it's, to make it very simple, it's the rules of the business. This is where you detail out, if there's multiple owners, who, what ownership percentage each member has. How will the profits be split? Who's responsible? Who is the operating manager of the business? Who has access to the bank? Because most of the time, if it's just one person or it's two people, they'll say, okay, everyone has access to the bank and that's fine. But what if you had a silent partner and they didn't necessarily need access to the bank? You have to detail all of these things out. And so really establishing, at what point are you going to share those profits? Is it a specific date? Is it at a specific time? Do you want to create a lockup period, meaning that you all can't touch the money at all up until a certain period? Who's going to be responsible for distributing out these funds? All of those things have to be detailed out. And I like to say, when you are kind of walking through your business plan and you're thinking about it, because everyone should have a business plan. But, you know, and so when you, yes. So when you are walking through your business plan, you have to think about, who's going to be responsible for this? Who's going to be responsible? You know, like, who's your accountant? Do you have someone in your business? Like, is, you know, one of your partners, are they really good at bookkeeping? Are you going to hire someone that's doing bookkeeping? Is that a part of their role? Because what a lot of people don't know is, let's say someone brings me into their business and they say, you know what, Ms. Business, I just want you to I love your brand. I just want your brand to be associated with this business. And I also just want you to do the accounting. But then down the line, you sit me down and you're like, yeah, I want you to do marketing and I want you to work in the store too. That's out of the scope on what's in our operating agreement that I agreed to. Now, in theory, yes, it's my business. I should go as hard. You know, however, you can also say, all right, well, as a business, I mean, that's not what I signed up for this business. So I want to be paid additional. That's what's called guaranteed payments. Mm. So with those guaranteed payments, that's you saying, okay, well, I'm going to be paid out of the business. Yes, I'm an owner, but I'm going to be paid additionally before, you know, these additional services. And so you have to think about upfront who's doing what and who is responsible for what, especially in partnerships. And when it's just you, it's cool. Everything falls on you, right? You don't have anyone to answer to. But when you start needing to answer questions and you're being checked by people, it's good to be able to say, nope, this is the rules. This is what we said. This is what we agreed on. Because people are emotional, right? So people are emotional, and emotions in business do not mix. So they may say, oh, well, I'm in a bind. I need some money. So I want to take out some money from the business. No, no. We said that the money was locked up. It's a lockup. Nobody's taking any distributions for the first 2 years. That now makes it a personal problem and not a business problem. And we agreed on this, you know? And so I see a lot of partnerships dissolve a lot because no one took the time to say what the rules were in the beginning.
So as far as the EIN, you go on the government's website, you set the EIN up, mm-hmm. and that's like same day turnaround, right?
Yeah, same day turnaround. So there's two different ways you can apply for it. One is manually filling out a form and then faxing it over or mailing it over. Some people only have that option because sometimes, keep in mind, you have to make sure that your name and social matches the IRS record. So sometimes you are able to file it electronically, and that's like same day. You'll get your EIN same exact day. However, sometimes there'll be an error message because let's say someone got married and the IRS may only have your maiden name, and then, you know, you now are trying to tell them that, you know, this is another name. They're like, nope, that doesn't match our records. Now you have to like mail it in. So 90% of the time, with my experience, people are able to do it electronically, but sometimes you will have to complete that SS4 form and send it in.
And then, all right, so once you get the EIN number, now you can set the bank account up. You can't set the bank account up until you have the EIN, right?
The EIN and your articles. So right. Those are and sometimes your operating agreement. So some banks will require you to have your operating agreement, your EIN, as well as your articles of organization or incorporation if you're a corporation.
Now, if you do it by yourself, that's fine. But if you have partners, they also need to be with you at the bank to do this?
Not necessarily. Not all banks. And so that's important as well. Just getting the communication to find out what the bank is looking for. So sometimes banks will allow just one of the partners to open up the bank account, and then you can list out who else has sign-in authority. But that's the thing. Banks will require your partners to sign, like who has sign-in authority on the bank account. But in terms of opening up the bank account, depending on the bank, most of the time one person can go in and do it.
So since we're on the topic of banks, so A, it's extremely important, right, for you to have money coming in and out of the business bank account. That's the whole point of setting up a bank. A lot of times people running businesses and they just putting the money in their personal account, taking money out of their personal account. And
commingling.
Why is that not? why should they never do that?
Okay, so you shouldn't do that because now you have to realize you have established this business. You now have an EIN. That's a whole separate entity. You have to treat it as that's like your friend. You wouldn't come and pay your friend's bills. Your friend wouldn't deposit all their money into your bank account. You have to treat your business as a separate entity. And so that's the first thing. First thing is just legally, you're just not supposed to do it, right? It's like at the end of the year, I have so many people who will say, yeah, I have an LLC and I have a bank account, but I don't use it. And I rent everything under my personal. I'm like, okay, well, you are operating as a sole proprietorship. Because if in the event you're audited, the IRS is going to want to see your bank statements. Mm-hmm. And if you have no money coming in the bank statements, you have no expenses, what did you report? Where did this money come from? So now you're opening up a whole new can of worms because now they want to understand, where's this money that you're reporting? Are you making this up? And you don't have any indication of your other business, or you receiving money? So now, that is important, and I stress it so much to clients, but it is hard. It's a transition, and I think that is something that people just have to be cognizant of. When you start this business, you have to open up your business bank account and utilize your business. If it's a situation where a lot of people have an issue at, is they're like, all right, well, I opened up this business bank account, but my business isn't making any money. So how am I supposed to buy supplies, or how am I supposed to actually pay for things if I can't use my personal? Only thing you have to do is take money, transfer it from your personal over to your business. That's not considered income. It's just considered a capital contribution into your business. And you then need to pay for all of your expenses out of your business account.
With a debit card, so make sure you get a business debit card.
Business debit card.
Or a credit card.
Or a credit card. Yeah. A business credit card as well. And so that is also a thing where people are like, oh my God, well, I just started this business and I don't have any business credit and they're not going to approve me. So that's not true. You can, especially with the bank that you're opening up the business bank account with, you can ask them, hey, I want to apply for a credit card. They may use your credit, your personal credit, to like as a personal guarantee sure. But if you have good personal credit, you can get approved for a business credit card. And just keep in mind that business credit card on a monthly basis is not going to report to your personal to your personal report. It's only going to report to the business report, right? So it's kind of like using your personal credit as leverage to then build your business credit.
Yeah. So it's one of the things you said is the foundation of your business is bookkeeping. And now that we're talking about bank accounts and keeping records, I think probably that's the best way to do it, right? And so what are some ways we can track our books or create our books? And why is it the foundation of the business?
Bookkeeping is the foundation of a business. It is the most looked over process in a business. Most people do not understand that you have to have bookkeeping in place in order to understand what money is coming in, what money is going out. Some people have multiple streams of income. One stream is just paying for the other stream. They're not necessarily understanding how they're profiting, what's doing good, which months were they doing better in than another month? Why were they doing better in that particular month? And so bookkeeping is really the foundation. And for 2022, if you have a business, you will have a bookkeeping processes in place, right? Can you guys tell them that they need to have bookkeeping processes in place?
Where we at? I'm going right here. vitally important. Like, you want to know where your money is. Like, you want, I remember like 15 years ago, I would go out with him. And he would, like, we'd go out to dinner, he'd like, give me the receipt. And I'm like, yo, why does he keep taking the receipt? And I realized later, like, he was tracking his books. He's like, yo, this is my dinner. I'm keeping books on myself. I'm like, oh, that's what he's doing. He's doing his own bookkeeping. Because you need to know where the money's going.
You need to understand where the money is going. And again, it is so overlooked. And no one is thinking about, I need to understand where my money is, like, how much money is coming in? Are you operating? You do not understand how many people I point out. I'm like, you know, you're doing business for free. You cannot afford to quit your job and then do business for free. So many people don't understand
that. That's a fact. That's a fact. But the thing about it is, when he's referring to like years ago, I had, I used to keep white envelopes and I used to label them like meals, travel, equipment. It was like seven different things that you can take deductions off of, and I would keep all my receipts, and then I would put the receipts in each envelope that it fit, and then at the end of the year I would meticulously, it took me forever, but I would go through every single one and track it and be like, all right, I spent $5,000 on food and everything, then that was my deductions for the year. So that was a manual, and obviously
that was a manual process that we don't have to do anymore. I mean, listen, different things work for different people, right? However, now we have so much technology. So I use QuickBooks with my clients. So QuickBooks has different levels of, you may have self-employed. As more complex as your business becomes, you have different options. I suggest getting like QuickBooks, QuickBooks Essentials at minimum, because when you have QuickBooks, it does a few things. One, you're able to sync your bank accounts. So now it's not a situation where your business bank account, not your personal. Mm-hmm. I have so many people that come to me and their personal accounts are connected, personal credit cards are connected, their husband's accounts. I'm like, why is all this stuff in your business account? This is not business, right? And so your business account should be connected to QuickBooks. What happens is that your transactions are automatically syncing. You then go in and then you categorize all of your expenses, saying, okay, this went here. You know, this is meals, this is travel, this was supplies, this was repairs. And then what other feature QuickBooks have that I love, because I'm bad, I'm not as organized as Rashad is with his envelopes. So for me, I have receipts everywhere. They're in my purse, in my pocket, they're everywhere. So for a solution for that, I started taking pictures of my receipts, because even if you hold on to receipts, receipts crumble, they fade. And I feel like that's like, I felt set up. I'm like, well, I kept my gas receipt, but it's nothing on this receipt. And so what I started doing was taking pictures of the receipts, and QuickBooks allows you to attach the receipt to the transaction. Yeah. So now you don't have to worry about, you know, keeping anything like on hand. And now it can be like a total like virtual, you know, process. Yeah. And so it's just like a total virtual process. And it does make a difference. One, I have some clients who try to, you know, do it Excel, and that's fine. Whatever works for you. I don't recommend it, because as a business owner, you have enough hats to wear. The last thing that you need to do is come in every day to say, this money came in, I spent this money on something that's already being recorded in your bank account anyway. So you have to get a system in place, and that's important. So bookkeeping is the foundation. I tell clients, and I go back to it all the time, because even when it comes to filing your taxes, people don't understand that bookkeeping is really a requirement. They don't look at it as a requirement, because the IRS isn't explicitly saying you need bookkeeping, but what happens when you're audited? They need the following things. They're going to ask you for your bank statements. You cannot just provide receipts alone. You cannot just provide bank statements alone. So what they're going to look for is your bank statements. They're going to want receipts. They're also going to want your general ledger and your trial balance. And what your general ledger and trial balance is, which if you have QuickBooks, it'll be an easy download for you. Your general ledger is pretty much your detail of your transactions. So let's say if you say, you know what, I had $10,000 of travel. That's going to show, that one line item shows up on your trial balance. Travel, let's say $10,000, mm-hmm. $10,000. Now in your general ledger, that's going to show all of the, like what makes up that $10,000. So the hotels, the flights, the meals while you were there. And so you have to think about, it's really a requirement, because if you're audited, the IRS wants all of those things. They want to know what made up that line item. You reported it on your tax. You reported $10,000 of travel. What makes that up? Okay, cool. You said you had some hotels, you had some flights. Okay, where does that show up on your bank statement? You said the flight was $700. Where does the $700 show up on your bank statement? Okay, cool. It showed up on your bank statement. Still not enough. We still need to see the receipt. Right? So you need all of those things. Yeah. And then a step further, it provides insight. You don't really know, as I mentioned, where you're profiting, you know, what's your profit margin, if you're doing business for free, if you need to increase your prices. You don't have that insight without having those numbers. And then final step, I can't tax plan for clients that do not have bookkeeping. Because if you don't know where you are, I can't help you, because I can't tell you what adjustments need to be made, because you don't know where you are. So without having that foundation, it's like, it's so bad for your business.
Word of the wise, you know, I would say, if you're on QuickBooks, if you're not, check every month, right? Because when it gets to like November and you're looking at uncategorized purchases in February, it's gonna be tough to remember. So I would suggest looking every month. Also, go through your pictures. That helps a lot. So like, if you go through your pictures and you're like, wait, February 5th, where was I? Oh, wait, I was here. I was in Miami. Oh, we had dinner. Oh, it kind of helps you with that as well.
Okay, that's your strategy? That's how you answer those uncategorized transactions for me?
That's exactly how I do it. Yeah, but it helps, because I'm like, oh, wait, that we were there. Now I can explain this person. This makes sense. So it falls in line. So at what point should we say, you know, I can do this myself. I need to hire somebody to do my QuickBooks.
Two things that you have to consider. You have to consider your capacity. You have to understand the person that you are. So what I mean by that is, what is your capacity? When you first start out in your business, you are going to be wearing 9 million different hats. So you are in marketing, you are in finance, you are the CEO, you're in production, you're in shipping, you're everywhere, right? And so you have to consider as your business starts and it grows, what stays with you versus what you can outsource. Because where you put your energy, that's where it's going to pretty much flow. And so if you're putting your energy into bookkeeping, your finances may be right, but guess what? Your marketing may not be, or your, you know, the operations of the business may not be. So you have to understand what's pulling you away, and people underestimate bookkeeping in terms of the amount of time that it takes in order to be organized. And so it's so important to just consider that, right? First thing you have to consider is, okay, do I need to be doing this, or should I be hiring somebody to do this, right?
Every time I get the email, I'm thinking that. Shout out to Danny.
So let me ask you.
Yes.
Let's switch topics for a minute, because this is something that a lot of people want to know. How to buy assets in your business name?
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with that?
So buying assets in your business name, you have to make sure. So first thing that you need in order to buy assets in your business name is a business bank account, right? Foundation. And this is what I am stressing going forward. I used to be so nice, like, oh no, you know, made people feel like it was an option. It's not an option. If you're gonna thrive and you're gonna make this decision to be a business owner, you have to do what you need to do. So now buying assets in your business name is, it's amazing, right? And I love it because it's more so shifting what would typically be a personal expense and then shifting it over into your business. And so whenever you have, not whenever, but most of the time when you have an asset, you have some sort of, you know, interest because you have a loan, you can, if it's personal, let's use a vehicle, right? Because everyone loves
They remember
the 6,000 pound rule, right? Yeah. That was actually about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about a vehicle. Typically, it would be your personal vehicle. You'll be paying your car note or your lease, your insurance, your registration, your repairs, your maintenance, everything. If you're paying it on your personal side, it would just be coming out of your personal checking account or credit card. But if it's now a business expense, what happens is that now you're able to write those things off. And so everyone wants to do it, but now let's talk about how you can do it. So the first thing that you want to make sure of is that you have your business bank account, because lenders, again, when you go to a lender, the only thing they want to know is how are you going to pay them back? So they want to make sure that you have money coming into your account. They want to make sure that you have money going out of your account, right? And then what, not make sure that you have money going out of your account, but see what you're spending money on when it's going out of your account. And so that's pretty much their way to analyze what's happening. Another thing that they are going to want to see are your taxes. So they want to make sure that you can, again, afford to pay them back. So what exactly did you report? They will also want to see a current profit and loss statement. So let's just say right now it's January 2022. The last tax return that was filed was 2020, right? We're gearing up to file 2021. You may say to them, hey, yeah, I have my 2020 taxes. They're going to say, okay, well, I need a profit and loss bookkeeping. I need a profit and loss statement and a balance sheet. So that way they want to see those financials. So that way they can see what activity happened in 2021. Because they still need to make sure that you didn't dissolve the business, or, you know, you, for whatever reason, it isn't operating the same. And so they're going to pretty much want an update. So those things are going to be extremely important. In some cases, when you are buying an asset in your business name, you also want to consider if you have to be like a personal guarantee, a personal guarantor to the loan, or if it's something, you know, your business can handle it. And so you have to think about all those things. And that's pretty much the things that they're going to look at.
So, I mean, when you have to be a personal guarantor, that has to do with how old or how long you've been in business, right? So at one point, because a lot of people are saying, you know what, I heard that rule, I got a business, I just opened it, I'm going to go use my business. to get this car. But there's a time frame that you need.
There's a time frame.
Business for it.
Yes, and every lender has a different time frame. But typically what I see is that they're looking for you to be in business for 3 years or more. And they would be looking for at minimum 1 year of tax returns, but in most cases they'll ask for 2 years of tax returns. Mm-hmm. And of course, like your most like 6 months of bank statements, because they want to see, they want to get a full picture mm-hmm. of what's happening.
So, and then the financial statements, P&L, people hear about like P&L a lot. Like, what is P&L and what is, you know, what's the importance of having profit and loss statements, financial statements?
Yes. So financial statements are very important because it tells the story of your business. I tell clients all the time, I really don't have to have a conversation with you. If I take a look at your financials, I can kind of see exactly what's happening, right? Because you'll start to see like a cause and effect. As an example, you may be doing more marketing in this particular month and your sales are going to be up. Now with a profit and loss statement, that is really just the statement that captures your revenue and your expenses. So that's important because you need to understand how much your business is profiting. That's going to tell, and that is like the most, that is the number one financial statement requested by lenders on a consistent basis. I think my office phone rings on a daily because people are like, I'm going for a house, they want a profit and loss statement. I'm going for, you know, some equipment and they want a profit and loss statement. That's because they want to know, are you profiting? That's typically what that statement is telling lenders. Are you profiting or are you operating at a loss? So it's going to report your revenue, your money in and your money out, your expenses. Now your balance sheet, the balance sheet is not talked about enough, but it is very important and also important to lenders because you could be making a profit. And I know you guys talk about this in terms of health of companies and, you know, on Market Mondays. The balance sheet is an important statement as well, because when you are looking at, you need to know how much cash, like lenders want to know, how much cash do you have in the bank? Investors may want to know, right? It's not only lenders. If you are going to someone saying that you want them to invest in your business, they are going to want to know, how much cash do you have in your bank? How much liability do you have? There's assets over liabilities. You guys are really like the balance sheet, okay? Mm-hmm. So when you think of...
It's an accountant. Yes. It's actually an accountant's slogan.
Yes, it is.
But everybody that sees it, like, are you an accountant? Are you an accountant? Because nobody ever really, you know, ever thought about like, but the ironic thing about that is that when I came up with the idea assets over liabilities, I didn't necessarily know that that was so popular in the accounting world.
Oh yeah.
I just thought that that was a good slogan, but it mm-hmm. is like,
yeah, it's what we go by.
It's an accounting term, but it's so crazy that that's been, nobody ever thought about putting it out there like that. Like,
nope.
But every time somebody always says, are you an accountant?
You're an accountant.
Like,
yep.
They feel like it's like an underworld society, like, because they're accountants.
Yeah, because that's what shows up on the balance sheet. Your assets, so your cash, your stocks, your real estate. If you're in the business of real estate, what else? Your bonds, your accounts receivable. So if anybody owes you money, right? That's what's going to sit under your asset section. Your liability section, if you owe somebody, the banks want to know. I'm giving this person money. Who else do they owe? So that's important because if you have high revenue, but then you have high liability, technically, you know, you may be operating at a loss almost, right? If you pay these people back. Another thing that everyone is always so crazy about, you know, people's net worth. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much how you calculate somebody's net worth. You take their assets, you minus their liabilities. You also are going to take in, you know, to consideration their equity. And then that's how you get to the their net worth. And so, yep.
All right. So when we spoke about personal guarantor, that speaks to not having business credit. And so how does one build business credit if we just started our business? Like, what's the process or some steps we can take?
So steps that you can take when first starting a business, as we spoke about before, is that one, you can leverage your personal credit to then help you build your business credit. Mm-hmm. So acting as that personal guarantor for your business credit cards, for line of credits, that is like the easiest way to get approved starting out before you establish any sort of business credit. Yeah. The second thing that you want to do is start some trade lines. So those tier one trade lines like Quill and Staples and, you know, gas cards, those are really good ways to start building your credit, your business credit. You want to make sure that whomever you're building trade lines with, and it's pretty much you, what you'll do is create like net 30 accounts or net 60 accounts. And what that really just, what that means is that they're going to supply you a product and then you're going to pay them with, you know, within 30 days, okay. Right? Once you pay them within 30 days, they will then report that to Dun & Bradstreet, right? And so that's important because just like with your personal credit, you want to build up that history. When starting out, I would order stuff from Quill all the time because I needed to build my business credit. I didn't need all those supplies. Mm. I would like have like big dish detergent in my house, right? But I did it because, yeah, it came in a bigger bulk, but it was something that I was going to use anyway. So instead of going to, you know, a local store to buy it, I just ordered it there and they were able to report to my, to Dun & Bradstreet that I was making those payments on time. So
there you have it. So that's a whole lot of game. We can keep going on and on and on.
We can.
But, you know, so let me ask you this, switching gears. Because, you know, when you go to business school, and one of the things that people always ask about is like, how do I put together a business plan? What happens is that nobody really ever puts together a business plan. One of the reasons why they actually end up failing in business, and most of the time, most businesses fail because they're not properly prepared. Absolutely. All of this stuff that we talked about, but this is only like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much stuff. And it's like, you know, unfortunately, if you don't come from a situation where the business is passed down to you or you have a level of mentorship, you just start in a business. Most of us just start businesses. You're just learning, but the learning curve can take you out of business if you're not successful enough. Yes. So that's something that's vitally important. It's like, this is one of the most important episodes because it's like the information that you have can make or break if your business is going to survive or not. And that can, who knows, your business could be $1 million business, multi-million dollar business, $1 billion business, but if it never actually gets a chance to get to that point, it's going to be a failure. Mm-hmm.
That's
so
a fact.
So you decided to actually put all of your years and expertise together and create an educational portal. So what made you get into the educational component?
So I got into the educational space because, as I mentioned, as the accountant, I see a lot of things. I have access to everything. And what I realized is that so many people were starting businesses, but a lot of people were not operating successful businesses. And it wasn't, as you mentioned, it wasn't because they didn't have $1 million and $1 billion ideas. We see the most basic things become $1 billion ideas. And it's not because they don't have great ideas, but the execution isn't there. The resources isn't there. The understanding of what's necessary to actually build a business. I had, you know, the opportunity of being a part of a small business since I was 6 years old, right? So for me, I got that small business side and just really understanding like what it took to start a business, and then going corporate, understanding what corporations were doing to operate their business. And so I love business. If it's one thing, I just love business. Like that's going to be my thing forever. And so I wanted to get into the educational space because I knew that people didn't understand how to operate businesses. And so it's cool that everybody's starting a business, but I want everybody to actually create and operate sustainable businesses that they're profiting and they're able to build, you know, this generational wealth, because most of the time that is the foundation one. You first have to get the money in. Mm-hmm. So now that you get the money in your business, then you can take it and invest it and, you know, then take it, you know, to that next level. And so it's important. We are no longer in 2022 and beyond. 2022 is year of the bosses, right? We are bossing up. We are doing the things that we need to do. And I wanted to just be that person, very similar to how it was with taxes. I'm like, yeah, nobody's talking about taxes. We have to make it a part of the conversation. And so now I'm like, we have to make business, like real business, a part of the conversation.
So you came up with the business blueprint. What is the business blueprint?
The business blueprint is pretty much taking your idea and helping you execute it. So inside of the business blueprint, we're going through deciding your business name, marketing, funding, We're also talking about dissolving your business, taxes, financial statements, bookkeeping, hiring, payroll, HR. We're talking about everything, buying assets in your business name. And the best thing about it is that I've brought experts in to talk about so many of these topics. Like, yes, I took care of the, you know, the business stuff and the tax thing. When it came to, like, you know, we have an HR expert, you know, we have so many people in this course, and they were needed. You know a lot of them. Yeah. You know a lot of people.
You know, it's very similar to, like, when I said Matt, he created the encyclopedia for real estate with the Home Buyer's Blueprint. And when I got a chance to just check out the blueprint that you created for business, and I had never seen anything like it, as far as, you know, I just wrote down some notes where you have the execution, contracts, trademarks, going over business credit, business insurance, budgeting, taxes, marketing, hiring, payroll, retirement. It's like, you know, being, when I was in the financial advising world, you know, people used to pay to get business plans put together. Now, business plans anywhere from like $2,000 to $5,000 for a good business plan for somebody to, like, put it together for you. So I had never seen anything. And that's just the business plan. That's not really the retirement part of it. That's not the payroll. That's not all of the different stuff. So it's literally the only equivalent I could really give is like going to college. It's like going to college. Like, if you could wrap 4 years of business school together, and
it's like getting your MBA. This is like the MBA for small business owners.
Nah, it definitely is. It's an online MBA program for sure. Without, you know, actually having to go for 4 years, paying $100,000 and taking out student loans and things of that nature. And you also have a workbook attached to it. So that's like really academic. So talk about
this is a real academic.
Talk about the workbook.
I was not doing this course without adding some sort of business plan and something that people can leave the course with. As you mentioned, business plans can cost from $2,000 to $5,000, but they're just telling you, okay, well, this is how you get started. This is what you can look forward to, right? But it's not giving you those experts and making you really think through all of these different topics. And so the workbook pretty much is going to be like a guide, a side-by-side tool that can be used with the course. So as you're going through the course, you have to complete the workbook. So as you're completing the workbook, once you're done with the course, then guess what you have? You have a business plan. So you don't need to hire somebody to do your business plan, because as you're getting all this information, you're now going to be able to write all the things down. You also have contacts. Like, I made sure every single person that was in this course gave the blueprint. So they gave the blueprint to their industry. You now have those people as a resource. So you don't have to worry about, oh my God, I want it. Like, I need contracts. Who can I hire to get a contract? Nope. You have their contact. Right. And so that's worth more than, that's eliminating mistakes.
Yeah.
Mistakes cost in business.
Yeah, no one plans to fail. They just fail to plan. So that's pretty ill that you have an actual business plan when you complete the course.
You also put together an all-star lineup where you have people talking from the car industry, how to buy cars in your name. You have people from the marketing industry talking about marketing. You have the business lawyer talking about, you know, the aspects of that as far as actually doing it right, the legal way. Of course, our good friend and our lawyer, Sabine, contributed to it. Connie Falls contributed to it. And I contributed to it as well.
You contributed to it as well.
Yeah, I talked about some retirement planning, talked about buy-sell agreements. And yeah, I have a whole section in there. So, you know, it's an amazing body of work. And once again, you know, it's something that I don't want people to necessarily look past it, because yeah, it's easy to go to, like, okay, this is a course on how to make money on stocks. This is a course on how to do Forex. That's exciting. But it's like, if you're starting a business, literally, people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm not over-exaggerating that. Like, if you go to any top business school, that's how much you're going to pay, at least a couple hundred thousand dollars. And even bigger than that, not knowing the mistakes can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, who knows, even $1 billion if your business isn't successful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to actually, you know, spend some time on the course and actually go through the course myself, I was just amazed that, you know, somebody can actually put together that much information. Like, what we just did in this podcast was an hour. The course, I believe, is 15 hours. So imagine that, like, 15 times with a workbook. So thank you for putting that together, first and foremost.
You're welcome.
And then also in true EYL fashion, or anybody that has a course, because I invest in my education all the time, but one of the, you know, prerequisites for anybody that comes on that has a course, we always, you know, ask if they would do a deeper discount than what they're currently offering. For all the earners, anybody that watches the podcast, and that's something that's exclusive where nobody else on the market has that price. We try to do that as an incentive. So you were gracious enough to oblige for that.
Of course.
So we got $1,000 off of the regular price. So the website is MSB, the letter B, blueprinteyl.com. That's MSB, blueprinteyl.com. We'll put the link in the description of this video, and then on Spotify and Apple, and then also it'll be on our website on the alumni tab. But that's the only website that will have that special $1,000 off. And once again, that includes the four modules. That includes everything from the idea to execution, the contracts, the trademarking information, the business credit information, the business insurance information, the retirement planning information, the budgeting for your business information, the taxes, the marketing, the payroll, all of that, and the workbook as well.
The workbook. It has a six-figure blueprint. It has a seven-figure blueprint, right? Because as you're starting your business, most people are thinking, hey, I need to make seven figures, but hey, let's first get you to six figures. So now that you've got your six figures, then it also has a blueprint, because what it took for you to make 100,000, the processes, the anxiety, you're gonna have to deal with some different things to get to seven figures, right? And so it also includes that. So we also talk about funding in there. Like, there's a funding lesson. And so it's literally everything that you need from A to Z as it relates to business.
Better than college.
Way better than college.
And way cheaper.
I went to business.
By far.
I went to college, studied business. None of these things were, yeah,
I'm telling you, if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to be successful. I know that because I'm a business owner. I've been a business owner my whole life, well, my whole adult life. Started businesses. Some businesses worked. Some businesses didn't work. And the ones that didn't work is because, you know, we didn't have a plan and strategy in place and didn't know what we were doing. And even the ones that did work still made a lot of mistakes because we didn't know what we were doing. Just fortunate enough to get through those mistakes. But, you know. let's give a couple more gems before we wrap up. You want to talk about the...
Yeah, so in true EYL fashion, right, people have the 6,000 pound rule. So let's give them something that's new for 2022 as far as taxes. I want to talk about payment processes, third parties, specifically PayPal,
$600,
Cash App, Vimeo. There's a big thing that has changed. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so starting January 2022, I know there was a lot of speculation, but what they have settled on is that any payments that goes through payment process, the third-party payment processors, in excess of $600 or more, you will be receiving a 1099-K. So this is so important, and this is such a huge change, because previously the benchmarks or the thresholds was if you made, if it was 200 transactions or $20,000. That's now $600. That's a big jump and a big difference, you know? So there will be a lot of 1099-Ks coming in the mail next year. So keep in mind, January 2022 is when this went into effect. 2021, it doesn't go into effect. It's still the the 200 transactions or $20,000. Yeah. But yeah, this is a game changer, because a lot of people was not reporting a lot of the money and funds that they were receiving. And so now, and keep in mind, it is $600 total, not $600 transactions, right? Because I get that question all the time.
So if you put something on sale and it's $200, once that goes over three sales, you got to start reporting. Yeah, so the government wants to make sure that they're getting all their money.
They want to make sure they are not playing with this digital money. They're like, wait, hold up. We do not have a hold on this. And one more thing, because I know that you guys are like big in crypto. The IRS is getting their hands wrapped around crypto as well. In 2021 was the last year that wash sales was possible for crypto. So for those of you who are not familiar with what wash sales is, when you sell a stock and then rebuy a stock, right? And then be able to recognize that loss. And so in 2021, that was the last time that you could do that. Yeah. Now going forward, wash sales are not possible with crypto.
And crypto was so volatile that could happen.
Yeah, right? That could happen. Like, you could be, they could be December 25th. You could be like, you know what? It just dropped. I have a loss. I'm going to, you know, sell it, recognize the loss, rebuy it. You know, January 1st, you know, just rebuy it a few days later. And so that that's a big one. That's a big one, because a lot of people were offsetting a lot of their gains with those losses and then just picking up the picking up whatever coin it was in a few days. But now that's no longer possible. So
there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Whole lot of gain. Definitely a lot of gems. How can the people contact you? What would you like to tell the people before we wrap?
So before we wrap, I want to tell the people that 2022, start your business, start it the right way. It is important. We are no longer okay or content with just having LLCs. No, we are starting profitable businesses. And so do the work, hire who you need to hire, get the education and do what you need to do. That's like my theme, like going forward. No more babysitting it, right? So that's what I wanna leave you all with. Yeah. In regards to contacting me, it's Miss Business 101 on Instagram and all platforms. So follow me, send me a DM. You can always email me. My website is missbusiness101.com. So you can always reach me through any of those platforms.
Make sure you tell her that you're an earner. She loves it.
Make sure you tell me that you are earner. I have, oh my God, we were just talking about it. I'm like, oh my God, I have, you know, the earnest call. And they're like, I'm an earner. I'm like, all right.
Treat me different.
You guys are VIP. Listen, if you are earner, you are VIP. So don't even worry about it. Reach out.
There you have it. And don't forget msbblueprinteyl.com for the special price on the business blueprint. Everything you need to know, ideas to execution to get the business up and running, profitable, and taking it to the next level. Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, man. Shout out to all our Patreon members. Shout out to EYL University, all our earners that are in there. Shout out to the merch team, and shout out to you. This is episode number 2, which now means that is Letterman jacket or maybe Letterman sweater. Cardigan.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, not many people have 2 episodes on Earning Leisure, so thank you for coming and giving so much game. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Take execution. Let's make this year great. Thank you for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. Mic drop. Bag drop.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.